Can I always think in perfection? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Can I always think in perfection? My, that's quite a challenge, quite a task, to always think in perfection. We have many experiences that come into our life, and our tendency is to think, oh dear, is that going to work out all right? Is everything going to be okay? Is everything going to function in its perfect order? Is everything going to be exactly the way I want it to be? Is everything in order? Is everything in order? Is everything in order? And I doubt it. I worry about it. I try to explain it to myself. I try to understand it. If I can teach myself, if I can learn to at all times see my world in divine order, I will not have to do one other thing. If I see my world at all times in divine order, what I am seeing my world in is divine order. I see everything working out harmoniously, beautifully, wonderfully, perfectly, ideally, in every possible way. I see everything functioning in its immortality, in its wonderful wholeness, in its ideal circumstance. Now, our tendency is to think that can't be so. Life is not that way. Life is not a bowl of cherries. Life has its ups and downs. Life has its ins and outs. Life has its happiness and sadness. Life has its undesirable experiences that can just blow your mind. And I say to you, no. No, no, no. If I take a job, and I think that job is going to be difficult, if I think that job is going to be far more than I can handle, if I think that job is going to overwhelm me, if I think my boss is going to fire me the first couple of days I'm on the job, maybe even the first day, if I think that I can't do it, I'm not going to be able to do it. No matter how much I seem to apply myself, no matter how much I walk in the front and expect myself to do whatever I've chosen to do, I will not be able to do it. If I approach life, any area of life, if I approach my job with the idea that this is going to be fun, this is going to be exciting, this is going to be a learning experience for me, this is going to use my talents, use all of my talents, and use the talents I never dreamed I had. I'm going to rise to the occasion here. This is wonderful, 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 fantastic. Wow, I love it. I love being here. And everybody is going to be so wonderful to work with. I'm going to really delight in being here. It's going to be fantastic. Now, if I come on my job with that sort of attitude of mine, you can be sure my job is going to be lots of fun. If I come on my job and say, oh, there's so much I don't know. Oh, there's so much that I have to learn. There's so much that's confusing. Nobody's going to want to give me the time to do this and stuff. Well, nobody's going to want to give me the time to do this. Now, we have areas of relationships, areas of wealth, areas of happiness and health, areas of all sorts of things in our life. And as we look at these areas, what do we think? As we look at these areas, are we challenged by them? Are we concerned by them that they will not be what we want them to be? And if that is what we do, you can be sure it will not be what we want them to be. Because we really want them to be what we say we don't want them to be. Kind of an odd thing to say, but very true. If we believe in ourselves, if we believe in this universe, if we believe that all is good and very good, if we believe all is divine and all is in divine order, if we believe that everything works out in its perfect harmony and its perfect right action, then that is what it is. That is what it is. I like the words of Jesus. They were very tough and very unkind. But I like the words of Jesus, where people came to him and said, "Jesus, heal me." And Jesus turned to them and said, "What do you want from me? What wouldst thou of me? What do you want from me? I am the Christ. I can only see from the eyes of the Christ. I can only see wholeness and perfection in everything. You want me to raise the dead? There are no dead to raise. You want me to heal the sick? There are no sick to heal. You want me to bring happiness and harmony to communities and to countries? There is no unhappiness, no inharmony in communities and people." Well, Jesus, you just don't have your eyes open. You just don't see the things the way they are. "Oh, I see things the way they are," the Christ will tell us. "I see things the way they are. I see them according to my vision of all in divine right order. I see all is perfect now. I cannot allow myself for 1 minute to see something in an opposite way that I want it, because if I do, I empower that thing to be that way. I empower whatever it is that I put my attention to. If I put my attention to 1 second to having an unhappy relationship with someone, I'm having an unhappy relationship with them. I'm looking for their faults, and I'm looking for how we can have an unhappy relationship, and we have that unhappy relationship. It's just that simple. I am empowering that which I don't want to empower. Now, do I want to see life eternal? Do I want to see someone living forever, starting with me? Then I think about wholeness and perfection. I think about living eternally. I do not for 1 second allow my consciousness to think about death. "Oh, it would be so nice if that person could die. They wouldn't have to suffer all that pain and unhappiness that they're going through. It'd be so nice if that person could just quietly slip away because they're in their 80s and 90s and 100 years old and their body is not very useful anymore. It'd be so nice if they could slip away. It'd be so nice if that animal that is suffering so much pain could die. It'd be so nice if we could euthanasia them, if we could just put them to sleep so they don't have to go through this. It'd be so nice." Oh, my goodness sakes. All of these, "it'd be so nice." It's merely because we do not want to look at all being in divine order. We do not want to look at all being in divine order, all being whole and perfect right now, immortality being a reality. Immortality, a reality, not a desired thing, not something we wish and hope for, not something that could never be, and we're just fooling ourselves by saying it's an immortality, it's a reality. We're fooling ourselves, we're kidding ourselves, because people die around us all the time. Our animals die, and plants die, and everything dies. Oh boy. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think about these things, we empower them. A child comes up to his mother and is not very nice, and the mother says, What seems to be troubling you, son? And the boy says, I hate you, and gets very unhappy. And the mother, who is too wise to be touched by this, says, "Son, there's something that's troubling you. Come, let's talk about it. Come on now, sit down here. Sit down in my lap." And if he's too big to sit on your lap, sit down next to me here. And then you hold his hand and you say, "Son, what seems to be troubling you? Well, all of the anger and all of the aggression and all of the tension and all of the things that make him feel very unstable begin to sort of flood away, and what really is bothering him, he begins to tell you. And when he tells you what's bothering him, you think to yourself, ah, yes. You don't say, I should have done this, I should have told him this, I should have helped him here. You just say, you're dealing in the now. And so your son tells you his problems. And you say, son, you are a perfect young man. You know exactly what is the right thing to do. Whenever those circumstances come up in your life, you immediately turn to them and say, this is how I look at them. I see all in divine order. Or you don't even have to say anything. You just look at it in divine order. You look at it in right order. You look at everyone in your group acting and being proper. Sure, some of the kids in your group are being mean and hateful. And that's no reason for you to get unhappy about it. All you do is to put a cause in motion which dispels and which diffuses the meanness and hatefulness and puts the right cause in motion. And you say to your friend Ronald, Ronald, you are so fantastic. You just surprised me. And Ronald will look at you with surprised eyes. You do. Ronald, I know that you're always thinking deeply about these things, and you're always thinking, how can I be a helpful person to my mom, and how can I be helpful to these people that I'm working with? And you see, when you start working from your point of view on that, Ronald all of a sudden says, well, you know, I do like to help them, I do like to do nice things for them, but they just don't understand it, they just don't. Well, Ronald, you never give up, do you? You are always there, believing in them, even while they're revealing who they are. You don't use words like that, perhaps, but you use words that you are familiar with. And so, as you talk to your son, and as you explain these things to your son, or as you give your son the courage to continue with his way of looking at things, he will be strengthened. And he will no longer hate you because your system didn't work. What you teach him, what you taught him, what you showed him, what you demonstrated to him didn't function when he put it to work. But it really did function. He just didn't work with it long enough. The same is true with death. The same is true with illness. The same is true with abundance. No matter what area, what things, what conditions we're working on in our life, if we can realize that when we stand for what we know to be the truth, then it is there. The world is filled with money. The world is filled with abundance. The world has more abundance than it knows what to do with it, you might say. And I do everything, and I am abundant. I do everything that creates abundance in my life. I do everything that brings goodness into my life. Not brings goodness into my life, but reveals that it's already there. I reveal the abundance that's already there. I am abundant. I am independently wealthy. I am so happy. And then you go around acting independently wealthy. And I like to point out, an independently wealthy person is not a person who just spends money. An independently wealthy person is a person who lives in a wealthy consciousness. They talk, act, and think in the ways of wealth. They respond in the ways of wealth. And they say, well, let's go down and look at the cars and see which ones I'd like to have. And so you go down to the car dealers and you look at the cars and you look at the very expensive cars and the very inexpensive cars, and you look at the medium-priced cars, and you look at them all. And you look at them all, and you think, what do I want a car for? Is my car just a show-off, something to show other people that I'm very wealthy? Is my car a dependable object that I use to take me here and there? Is my car the type of car that is always surrounded by the pure white light of love, and all its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness? What is my car? What do I want for a car? Well, you go and look at them, and you see different cars, and then all of a sudden you see a car in a range that you hadn't expected to see it, and it was exactly what you have in mind, exactly the car that you can use and would fulfill every purpose in your life. And you don't tell anybody about it. You just have that car in your consciousness. And as you have that car in your consciousness, as the one and only car, not that you don't want another car, not that you don't use the car that you presently have, but that's the ideal car for you. And then you just live in its presence. You live in the awareness that that car is in your life. And little by little, you leave the doorway open for it to be there. And as you remain true to it, it manifests in your life. As you have a health need, your body has a condition that's terminal, or your body has a condition that is something that cannot be healed, that cannot be helped, it is something terrible, and you say to yourself, oh my, why do I have something terrible? Why do I have this experience? And that's not the thing you say at all. The thing you say at all is you visualize yourself as you are whole and perfect. Remember when you were whole and perfect? When you were a child, or when you were a young adult, or whenever? Remember when you were whole and perfect? Did you ever look at anybody whose life is whole and perfect? And as you look at them, are you delighted in seeing their life being whole and perfect? Can you visualize that life for you? Can you see yourself at all times being whole and perfect? Whenever you have a pain that says to you that you're not whole and perfect, you instantly say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And then pretty soon the pain stops coming to you because the pain is not receiving any attention. And believe it or not, if you can be so consistent and hold in there and know only the truth about yourself, that you're whole and perfect, then you will demonstrate wholeness and perfection in every area of your life. Is this what you want to do? Well, that's great. Now, you have an elderly person in your life, a parent or a friend, and that elderly person is getting ready to die. And their body is not functioning perfectly, and their life is not functioning perfectly. And you see that, and you instantly say to yourself, oh dear, they're going to die. And so then you say to yourself, no, that's not true. They are immortal. Now, do you really believe this? They are eternal. They live forever. And then you look at them, and you don't look at their agedness or their illness. You look at their wholeness. You look at their perfection. You look at their vitality. You see them in their prime, and their prime is now. Their prime is now. Their prime is now. As you see them in that prime now, you see them always. You talk to them in that attitude of their being in their prime. You act with them and take them places with you and do things with them in their prime. They're in their prime, and their prime is the ideal stage of their life, as it is the ideal stage of your life. When you see yourself in your prime at all times, there will be no growing old. There's no need to grow old, science tells us. There's no need in our bodies that they should become decrepit, except that we somewhere have allowed into our thinking system thoughts of age, thoughts of decrepitude, thoughts of imperfection in our bodies. And as we allow these thoughts in, then we dwell upon them and we experience them. We have the perfect power to demonstrate and to reveal anything we want in our life. We have the perfect power to bring forth in our thinking in our world anything that we want. We have the perfect. We don't raise the dead. We raise our attitude about people who are appearing to be less than perfect. We don't keep people from dying. We have people living. We don't change disease and illness into wholeness. We live in wholeness. We live in the ideal frame of reference, and we experience the ideal frame of reference. Many people say to me, "Well, Herb, why do you allow these things to go on in the world around you if you say you are only into perfection?" Well, I have two purposes in my life, and one purpose is, like the Christ, I see all perfect now. And, like the teacher, Jesus, he shared with his disciples how to do the things he did. And in sharing with them how to do the things he did, he had to allow them to think that they were changing their attitude to wholeness and perfection from an attitude of limitation, from the attitude that the world held around them. And this was sort of difficult for the disciples. It was difficult for any student of any teacher. The teacher says, "All right, Johnny, what's 2 times 2? And Johnny says, "Don't you know, teacher?" And if he doesn't say it out loud, it's what he thinks. Well, now, the teacher cannot allow that sort of a mental attitude to persist, and she doesn't answer him and say, "Yes, Johnny, I know what 2 times 2 is." She merely says to Johnny, "Now, if you had 2 apples and 2 apples and you put them together, you'd have 4. And if you had 2 apples times 2 apples, that means to times it by 2 means you take 2 apples plus 2 apples. To times it by 3, you take 2 apples plus 2 apples plus 2 apples 3 times. And to times it by 4, you take 2 apples plus 2 apples plus 2 apples plus 2 apples 4 times to get whatever you would get. 2 times 4 times 2 fours are 8, and 4 times 3 is 3 fours are 12. And you see, all these interesting things that we're dealing with are so fantastic when we stop trying to fight the opposition or the appearance or the illusion and dwell in the fulfillment of the circumstance. A child who is able to do mathematics in the most amazing way, you tell them, "What is the answer to this question?" And they will instantly give you the answer. And you'll say, "Well, now, how did you come by that? I would like to see how you achieved it, how you worked it out in your mind." Well, many times they cannot tell you, because you asked for the answer and they went to their divine self and said, "Divine self, what is the answer?" And the divine in them said, "This is the answer." So then they have to go back to the divine self and say, "Okay, now, if this is the answer, how do we get to this answer? What steps do we take?" And so the divine says, "Okay, you do this, this, this." Now, you see, when you are harmonious with the divine in you, for the divine in you to tell you anything that you wish to know and anything that you wish to think, when you are harmonious with it, then everything works out in perfect order and it is beautiful. This is the same with healing, with death, with life eternal, with immortality, with all that is good and beautiful. When we keep our thoughts 100% on reality, on immortality, on the nowness, then there is no death, there is no life after death, there is no non-immortality, there is no limitation or lack of any kind, there is only infinite abundance of all good things eternally. And this is the stage that we want to live in. This is the state that we want to express at all times in our lives and enjoy fully and completely and forever. Join with me in thinking about the words of Jesus. What do you want from me? And then you and I answer our world, wholeness, perfection, immortality, all that is good. And then let it be. I love you. I love you. I love you.